This is Colorado Matters from KCFR News. I'm Ryan Warner. In the past few days, we've been looking at a major housing and labor crunch in the Roaring Fork Valley, home to the pricey resort of Aspen and to traditionally more affordable towns like Glenwood Springs, Basalt, and Carbondale. We've heard how hard it is to fill jobs in a region where the cost of living is so high. Yesterday, we learned there are many people looking for affordable housing but who can't find it. Today, to conclude our series, some solutions. I spoke with Garfield County Commissioner Tracy Haupt, Pitkin County Commissioner Dorothea Ferris, and Colin Laird, Director of Healthy Mountain Communities, a nonprofit tracking these issues. Welcome all three of you to the program. Colin Laird, I'd like to start with you. Is the labor and housing crunch reaching a critical mass in this region?
I think you can think about it in terms of a perfect storm, that there's several trends that are all coming together at the same time that are creating all kinds of challenges for our region. You've got the baby boomers who are all retiring with lots of disposable income, and they're buying homes here, second homes, driving up the price of housing.
Sometimes third homes.
You have oil and gas development in the western end of the region in Garfield County, and that's also driving up housing costs and taking away a lot of the labor force from, or at least giving options to the labor force that used to commute up valley.
What you're saying there is that Aspen and Pitkin County historically relied on workers from neighboring Garfield County, and now that Garfield has more options, they may not be as available to Pitkin, to Aspen.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you could say yes, but I think when you frame it, it's as if that was a government policy, and it's not. This is the free market working, and there's more options for people. So there's more competition. From a worker standpoint, that's good. From an employer standpoint, that's a challenge.
What's at stake here? I mean, what happens if the region doesn't get this perfect storm under control?
Well, I don't know if it can get it under control because it's not of its own creation. These are national trends. Baby boomers are buying up homes and they're moving west to small, very attractive communities with urban services. So I think can we mitigate some of the impacts?
And that's part of what we're going to be asking on the program today. Tracy Haupt from Garfield County, a commissioner in that county. According to a new report, the storm isn't going away anytime soon. Pitkin County's workforce is going to double over the next 25 years, and more than half of those workers will live in Garfield County. Where are you going to put those people?
I really tend to think that we do need to work on finding greater solutions and not say that it's a national trend and we need to live with the notion of people commuting long distances to work. But I think it's critical that we look at how we can build community while we're seeing this growth so that we're not pushing certain populations further and further away from their place of employment.
In other words, you see the idea of building community. An integral part of that is making sure people work near where they live.
Absolutely.
So that sounds great. Give me an example of how you're going to do that.
We need to look at what properties are available in Pitkin County, in Eagle County, and in Garfield County. We need to look at where the commuting patterns are leading people. And we need to work with the communities to figure out what kind of housing is reasonable to build stronger communities.
It sounds to me like you think the notion of affordable housing needs to cross or supersede county lines.
Absolutely.
In other words, the affordable housing in Eagle has an effect on those who may work in Garfield or Pitkin counties.
We are all impacting each other greatly.
What we heard from this study, Dorothea Ferris, you're a Pitkin County Commissioner, is that as Pitkin County's workforce doubles in the next 25 years, lots of those folks will reside in Garfield. Can Pitkin return the favor? In other words, can you absorb some of their growing workforce?
We might double. We might not, because we are running out of room. And it may be that until there are some changes, there really is no place to move into. But I think the county can help by having caretaker units and rental units that are somewhat restricted and help the owners.
When you say caretaker units, I mean, this would be like a carriage house, something like that on site.
On site.
Okay. I want to ask you, Colin, about the current predicament. Not enough housing for the workers needed. It looks like that could be a problem into the future. Is there a lack of vision here, do you think, among leaders in the area? I mean, the level of the oil and gas boom may have been a surprise, But the cost of living, as you've said, has been high for a long time. Do you think there's a lack of vision on this issue?
I don't know. I think that Aspen and Pickens County have dealt with this issue for a long time, and they have a tremendous program that builds a lot of affordable housing.
But dates back to the 1970s, in fact.
Easily, yeah, and have about 2,000 units. And I think the Lower Valley has started to realize that they have a similar problem and have adopted policies to try and address that. I think we just haven't gotten to the point where we can do more of what I think most of us know what we need to do. We need to build more affordable housing, but finding the resources to pull that off. Dorothea mentioned that Pickens County has limited land. It's also very expensive. So even if you wanted to build on it, you couldn't afford it. And if you could, you'd have to have such a subsidy to make the housing affordable. It'd be very difficult.
I think it's important to recognize that Garfield County historically was the affordable housing county
pool
for Pitkin County and for Eagle County.
But wasn't that almost by default, really? I mean, it was because economically it was cheaper, not because commissioners said, we want to be the affordable housing county.
Well, absolutely. And so the whole notion of having to look at the realities of creating housing opportunities for people is new.
Tell me the most promising approach to addressing these issues from a Garfield County point of view.
Garfield County recently has become involved in a private-public partnership in Glenwood Springs with a private developer and with the city of Glenwood Springs to provide housing for really the poor. And the request came from our nonprofit organizations. We're having a very difficult time finding affordable rentals for the disabled or people on fixed incomes.
Is this the Glenwood Meadows project?
It is.
It is. And how many units in that?
It's changed over the plans. I believe we're at 82 right now.
82. Is that a drop in the bucket?
Yes. But I think it will go a long way in serving the community. And I think it's going to serve as a good pilot program for private-public partnerships as well. Historically, the private sector and the public sector have felt as if they need to address the issue of providing housing independently, but nobody has the resources to do it on their own.
Dorothea Ferris in Pitkin County, tell me one way the county is addressing the housing crunch.
Investing in housing in Carbondale. Keter Grove is the name of that. So an acknowledgement of county officials in Pitton County that we may need to move outside the county in order to invest in a project. The county has some property on which it may have to look for affordable housing for its own employees. RAFTA, the Roaring Fork Transportation Authority, is looking at the land which it owns and considering transit-oriented development that will include housing, perhaps for RAFTA employees, to keep them close to where they work.
Tracy, as a commissioner in Garfield County, can I get your reaction to the affordable housing that's in Garfield County but is serving a lot of folks in Pitkin, the development in Carbondale?
I don't want us as leaders to identify certain areas in the Roaring Fork Valley as affordable housing areas. I want us to look at it on a spectrum. And so if we're going to have partnerships with the different counties, we need to look in every single one of those counties for creative ways of creating affordable housing.
You're listening to Colorado Matters on KCFR, and we're in Aspen for part three of our series on the region's housing and labor crunch. My guests are Pitkin and Garfield County Commissioners Dorothea Ferris and Tracy Haupt and Colin Laird, Director of Healthy Mountain Communities. Dorothea Ferris in Pitkin County, you mentioned RAFTA, and
yes,
you happen to sit on the authority's board of directors.
Correct.
Correct. Now, you talked about perhaps using some of the land RAFTA owns,
yes,
for transit-oriented development, in other words,
yes,
housing near the transit lines.
Correct.
How else does public transportation fit into the picture, do you think?
As we improve the transit system to make it like trains on wheels, and we can take people from one part of the county to the other as quickly as possible, as comfortably as possible, and faster than the automobile, we cut down the number of cars, we make it a more pleasant experience, make it less hard on the environment.
Of course, the key phrase there is faster than the automobile.
Yes.
Right now, RAFTA buses get caught
compete with the automobile to a degree.
Yeah.
You realize that Aspen has made a bus-only lane on Main Street, which has helped by 15 minutes, which is a lot in an hour's trip.
Colin Laird, back to you from Healthy Mountain Communities. Are other resort communities in the U.S. experiencing this kind of labor and housing crunch, and to the degree that Aspen is?
They all are.
They all are.
You know, we're in the upper end. They all look at us in terms of what they want to avoid.
You are the example of what not to be?
No, I think a challenge that's coming their way. And I think a lot of places can't comprehend the scale of these changes. I mean, I don't even know that Garfield County can fully appreciate that it has $1 billion in real estate sales over the last year. That's enormous. Pickens County is at $2.6 billion in real estate sales. One of the reasons that the housing prices are so high is people can speculate or invest or just buy a home, and there's a tremendous upward pressure on those prices because people aren't price sensitive. You know, real estate transfer taxes are not possible because of Tabor.
They were made illegal under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights.
Aspen was grandfathered as part of that.
This transfer tax is the idea of paying a fee when a home is sold, and that money being used for affordable housing.
Exactly, and that's how Aspen is able to build as many homes as they do.
Do we know what that tax generates for Aspen, where it's allowed?
I believe it's $3 million a year.
$3 million a year?
Yeah.
And with real estate transactions at over $1 billion in Garfield County, twice that in Pitkin, suffice to say, it could generate some real dollars.
Quite a lot of money. Yeah.
I wonder, Dorothea, if that real estate transfer tax is something Pitkin County would like to lobby to have.
We have lobbied and lobbied and lobbied. Very few people are willing to carry such a bill with the resistance that one gets from the developers in the housing division. We're working on it. I hope we will see a bill next year to enable people to go for a vote for a real estate transfer tax. It has to be a statewide vote for a change in the Constitution to avoid the Tabor restriction.
Now, we talked to Susan Shirley with Valley Housing Partners yesterday on the program, and she says eventually the region might have to ask the federal government to open public lands for development. What do you think about that, Tracy Helms?
I don't know if I agree with a blanket statement like that. You know, on the national level, we've had a lot of discussion on how best to use or sell off public lands, and I think that seems to be kind of an easy thing for people to look at when they see the number of acreage in public lands, but that's what makes this area so valuable and so special. As we grow and as we plan and develop, we need to protect those lands, not infringe on those lands.
Okay. I don't think anyone would disagree, but would you support opening some of them to housing?
Well, you know, I know that there are pockets around the area that you could potentially look at that are already slated for sale. But if it's in the middle of a remote area and not attached to a municipal area, we're going to create more sprawl, we won't have services close by, and we're going to lose that sense of community that I was talking about earlier.
Dorothea?
I'm way farther to the edge. No, we should not sell off our public lands. One does not sell off one's major asset to pay for ongoing expenses, which is housing. I think she's absolutely right in that we will need to infringe on our public lands if we are going to get more land. The Forest Service looks at it, BLM looks at it for their housing. We will have gateway communities that are just entryway housing developments, track homes for employees if we aren't careful.
I'd like to leave listeners with a question for each of you, and that is, what is the measure of success? What do you look at to indicate that the trend is turning around? I don't know if it's housing units. I don't know if it's average commute times. What will you look for most as an indicator? Colin, why don't you take that first?
Well, it's probably a combination of all those things you just mentioned. Percentage of employees that are able to live and work in the community that they live in. I would think the number of people who can afford a unit in that community. You know, what can an average family afford in a community, and what's the gap between that, and are we filling that with affordable or community housing? Finally, you could probably look at things like service and nonprofit organizations. You know, people who live in a community support these service organizations, and if no one lives there full time, no one's going to be volunteering for things. I think that's what's gotten a lot of people worried, is that, you know, you don't have teachers, firemen, people who can work for the local government living in your community.
Tracy, how? The same question. What's the measure of success?
I think we need to make sure that commute times are low, that people can live in or near the community in which they work, that there's a sense of community. And I think we can only get there if we all, as community leaders, whether we're leaders in municipalities or other counties, respect and understand the needs of our neighbors and recognize that the solutions aren't only in affordable housing in Western Garfield County, because that's where the affordable land is right now, but it has to be throughout our region, so we aren't putting the burden on families who have to commute for hours at each end of the day.
Getting away from NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Yes.
Okay. And Dorothea?
The county conducts a survey of its county members to see what is most important. Quality of life and rural character are the two things that come out on the top. When you walk into a community and when you say, I am so glad I am back here now, because of the quality of life and the character of life, and this is the place I most want to be. When you come into any one of these communities, Glenwood Springs is a commercial end of the valley. This is a recreational and a music and an institute end. And you have towns in between that meet other needs. Each one has a certain draw to it. And I think if we can keep that magic in each community, connect them then with trails and rails, I think we've done a good job.
Well, thanks to all three of you for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting us to be here.
Appreciate it anytime.
Thanks.
Dorothea Ferris is a Pitkin County Commissioner, Tracy Haupt is a commissioner in Garfield County, and Colin Laird is Director of Healthy Mountain Communities. Well, that concludes our series on the labor and housing crunch in the Roaring Fork Valley. You can listen to the rest of the series online at kcfr.org. Colorado Matters continues after a short break.